Well, look at this. A snake in the birdhouse.
Well, a corgi, actually.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, friend. What's up, snake?
Hello, old friends, indeed. Indeed, indeed. Okay, so I was listening to you guys a little bit earlier, and you were talking about how everybody on the crew, Donovan, wears a hat.
Yes.
Which, and everybody has hair outside of Travis, who fears that he is now losing his hair.
All right. Not a fear, it's happening.
Okay. All right, well, I apologize for all that. But the rest of you, why do you wear hats so often? Like, Matt, what is it about your hair that you don't like so much that you cover it up with a hat every day?
It's probably just laziness. I don't want to mess with my hair. I don't really have a style or anything. I don't own any hair product. I just, if I don't wear a hat, I just run my hand through it, and however it looks, it looks.
Tip sheet?
It is two things. One, playing a lot of baseball, softball, wear a hat all the time. Two.
But you don't, you're at work.
Yeah, but I also wake, that's the other thing, is I wake up at, you know, 4 a.m, so I shower at night, so just throw on the hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Head out.
So when you go to dinner with your family, are you wearing a hat?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll still wear one. Cause I'm just used to wearing one by now.
I take mine off.
So you never take it off.
Pretty much.
I'll take it off if I'm at the table, if we're going out to eat. I wear it most of the time, like while we're on air. I like the way that I feel in a hat. I feel more relaxed. And so I like the way that when we're doing the show that it might be hard to explain. Maybe you get what I'm saying, but it's just like the way I like to feel when I'm doing this.
Aldi?
Same thing as Mr. Tipsheet over there. I wake up super early and it's much easier just to throw on a hat and head on in and try and do the hair and get all that stuff done. But
so do you wear it though, like throughout the day after you shower and all that?
No. Is when I get home, the hat comes off. And if I go out to dinner or anything, I don't wear a hat. I'll do the hair.
Okay. Matt, I think we need a hair makeover for you.
No.
Your wife would like it.
Well, sure she would.
I will bet you she...
I'd like a lot of things from her.
Enjoys you when you go out to dinner and you're not wearing a hat. I'll bet you
look. Yes,
she does.
Quite dashing.
There are nights where she, if we are going to go to dinner or something, she goes, please don't wear a hat. And I don't. I go, okay. But I don't, I just like whatever my hair looks like because I can't see it. So what do I care?
You don't own a comb?
No.
Brush?
No.
So you've never put hair product in your hair ever?
No, I have. I just haven't in... that's a good question. I don't remember the last time I did, but it's just, I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time in front of the mirror.
Sure. So, look, hats make it easy. There's no doubt about it. But most people that have hair are like, okay, I can figure out something to do with it.
I didn't notice that this was a hatted show. All four, 80%.
Yeah.
Every
That was really funny hearing you like look up and go, wait a minute, everyone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like if I haven't shaved my head in over a week, then I'll throw one on. But it's every once in a while that I'll wear one. And then sometimes I even take that off. I don't care. Who am I here to impress?
No, it works.
Even if
nobody.
I look like George Jefferson, who cares?
No. For Donnie, I'm taking my wife to Vegas for the Backstreet Boys show at the Sphere. It's a quick turn and burn trip, Saturday through Monday, so 48 hours, basically. It being our first actual trip to Vegas, what are two or three spots that we must hit, both food and entertainment-wise? That's from Edo.
Man, it's so different now from back in the day where everything feels like... I can give you a whole list of things, and you probably... won't even go to one. You know what I'm saying? Like it's about what you like. Everything's available. It's overwhelming to say, hey, you gotta go here, you gotta go there. I don't even really have those spots.
Yeah, it's kind of what I feel. Any restaurant that you look up like, hey, good restaurants in Vegas, any of them are going to be great.
Right. If you are in the mood for barbecue, you can look that up, and I can almost guarantee you that the spot you go to, it's going to be pretty good.
Right, and entertainment-wise out there, man, it's to each his own. What do you like? Because they offer a variety of entertainment.
Yep, I really enjoyed the Prince Purple Rain, R-E-I-G-N, show that I went to, but if you're not a Prince fan, you're not going to like that. The Michael Jackson 1 show I went to was really good. If you're not a fan of Michael Jackson, you're not going to like that. Absinthe.
Beatles Love is good.
I haven't been to that one.
Yeah, it's great. It sounds like he's going to the show, though, the Backstreet Boys.
Right,
so maybe
right.
that's his one
show.
Big entertainment.
Yeah. Man, I'm trying to think of the barbecue restaurant that's, I think, is the Steph Curry's wife place that we went to that was extremely good.
Well, if you think about it, you can send him a tweet.
I will. I think I saw that. Okay. So I will keep that in mind, and if I can think of something, then I'll send it to him.
Okay. From Nate, why do you, and it seems like most Mavs fans, hate the Lakers so much? Is there some venomous rivalry I'm not privy to? Disclaimer, he says he's a Lakers fan who moved to DFW as a kid and loves the Mavs as well.
No, good question.
So, for me, and probably you too, Donovan, growing up, it was envy. Like, I love the Mavericks so much. And they crushed our dreams in the Western Conference Finals in the 80s, the first time the Mavs ever got there. And they were winning all the titles. You know, them and the Celtics. I didn't like the Celtics either. And then it just continued. They seemed to get every single trade that they wanted, every guy that they wanted. You know, the Magic era rolled right into Shaq. It's never seemed fair. And now Luka,
I know.
It never ends. They get Kobe. They get LeBron. Like, it's never ending.
I just even remember the Pau Gasol, when they traded him for his brother. And I was like, they just always have the advantage. Well, yeah, and it's jealousy.
Yeah,
it's because I would love to see 17, 18 titles hanging in the rafters of the
AAC.
That's
why the Yankees are so hated.
Yeah.
And the part of that with the Cowboys for a long time of why they were so hated. You have these prominent teams, and the prominent teams are the ones that are winning everything. And if you are not a fan growing up, maybe of that team or adopted them at some point, you probably don't like them. That's where it comes from.
And that's why, you know, that's why most people that hate the, or not most, all people that hate the Cowboys, they love this run, this 30-year run. You know, people that hate the Yankees, it's been 16 years now since the Yankees have won. The Lakers have really, they've had spells, but they always seem to bounce back pretty quickly.
Man, I just don't know if it's even humanly possible to truly, truly like the Lakers and the Mavericks at the same time.
No. I don't know how you could. I mean, when Kobe was with the Lakers, you could love watching Kobe play. Because I still think that attitude-wise, and a lot of his game was as close as to Jordan that we've had anybody else become.
Yep.
But I hated the Lakers, but watching him play, like, man, that dude is an assassin.
See, that's the thing with the Bulls. I didn't mind the Bulls because I didn't hate the Bulls.
They just came out of nowhere. I mean, in the middle of the 90s, all of a sudden, this team that had never done anything was badass and had the best player ever.
It's like Golden State.
I was just about to say that. It's not.
Yeah.
A lot of people will hate them now because, you know, the exposure, and it's been a while. But when it first happened, I think a lot of people rooted for Golden State because they seemed like the it's crazy to say the underdogs, but they just kind of came out of nowhere and was like, oh my God, it's homegrown. They drafted all these guys and now they're good.
Right.
But now you can definitely have a lot of people that will hate Golden State, and it's understandable. But at first it wasn't like that. But the Lakers, just never, never, ever liked them. Even when they were dominant with Kobe and Shaq, it's fun to watch them because they were dominant, but never liked them.
Same here.
And that's why this trade even sucks worse for me, is that I can't do it. If they would have been traded to Toronto, I'd probably have a Raptors jersey. But I can't do the Lakers.
Nope.
Do you guys have a contact to get you into any sports venue for free?
Yeah, his name is Corbin.
Or at face value ticket prices.
Oh, yeah.
You just text Corby and be like, hey, where are you going today? And you go along with him.
Do you have an extra seat on the private jet so I can join you?
So the answer is no.
No.
We can get into any local sporting event with a media pass. By ourselves, we can't take friends or anything like that. We can use our media pass to go in there and then sit in the media section. I don't know if it's sold out. I guess if it's not, you could find a seat.
Right.
That's true. But as far as like buying a face value ticket, yes, there are people within the organization where we can reach out and say, do you guys have anything for sale? We can skip a step, basically.
Yeah. But sometimes that's a one-off, because every now and then you can get to go to a game with a ticket, but it's not as often as what people think.
No.
Like, people call you and think you can just, hey, man.
That's not how
you know,
works.
Let's go to the hottest game out there. You know, you can get me in for that, right? Like, no, there are sometimes those are privileges that you use once a season. That you can go and maybe get tickets for two or four or something like that. But other than that, if it's not a media pass, we're at the house.
And for me, I will say, when you, and this is where people also get confused, if you go to watch a game as a member of the media and you use your media pass to sit in the press box, you're not watching it as a fan because you can't cheer. I mean, there are some press boxes, as you guys know, like if you celebrate or get excited for something going on, they'll tell you to leave.
They will.
Oh, yeah.
It's a work environment.
100%.
I almost got kicked out once.
I just do.
And that was the run, Corby, when the Mavericks played Oklahoma City in 2011. And the comeback that they had in game, was that game three? Game four?
Where were you?
It was. We were in the press box.
Was that in Oklahoma City?
Yeah, in Oklahoma City.
Oh, okay.
And I just couldn't let that go. They're coming back from 15, and I got a little bit excited, and man, the eyeballs that were darted towards me, I went, ooh, okay. I guess this is what it's like. So
yeah.
I got the first game I ever covered, which I've talked about this before, but it was the Kenny Rogers perfect game. And I jumped up and down and screamed when Rusty Greer dove and made that catch. Like, I was going crazy. And I'm sure it was John Blake turned around and was like, you need to shut up. I was like, oh, all right. It was a good catch, though, wasn't it?
It was great. You guys didn't like that? You just kind of shaking Evan Grant. You see that, Evan?
With the the Rangers got to a point where if I had to cover them, I would go. Now I don't know how it is, but if it's sold out, it's hard to do this, but I hated sitting in the press box so much that I would go and just pick an outfield section where nobody was sitting and just sit there. And usually they wouldn't say anything to you, and if they did, I'd just show them my press pass, and most of the time if it was empty like that, they didn't care.
Right.
Like, why aren't you in the press box? I prefer to sit close to the field when I'm writing stories and stuff. Oh, okay.
It's me. That's Matt in the press box.
Yep. Yes, certain people frown upon that.
If you had a cell phone in school with social media, how much trouble would you have gotten into, and would you have your current job?
No, because if it was college, then I probably wouldn't have made it. High school, I would have been fine.
Yeah, high school, I would have been fine. Although, we would have filmed some stupid stuff that we did in high school that I don't think it would have gotten us in trouble, but it would have been like, what are you doing, you idiots? But I do believe that people, you know, even now, they get in trouble once for it, and they learn their lesson pretty quickly. Like, whoa, that could have been way, way worse.
I just mean, like, if you're paying attention in class, and you sit down in history class, and this teacher's about to lecture you for an hour and 15 minutes, and you have your phone, and you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have the distraction of that, and in college, it would have been way worse than it would have been in high school. So I'm glad I didn't have that distraction.
Do they allow phones I don't even know.
I think they would have to.
Like, I can text. I feel like one of my kids, they do, and the other one, they didn't. I can't remember the
high school or college?
High school.
Okay. I don't know about high school.
My son can't have his phone. They have to
turn it off? Oh, they have to leave it in a locker.
I don't think they have to leave it. I think that they can't have. I know he can't have it on, and it can't be. I'll have to ask him.
In between classes? Can he text you then?
No, they.
I think that's the rule. You can then.
For him, he can. It must be where they take him up or they put him somewhere, because I can text him. Like, he'll text me in the morning, be like, all right, well, I have to go because I'm walking into school. And then when he gets done in the afternoons, but during the day, I don't ever hear from him. So I'll have to ask him. They must take the phone, or he has to put it somewhere or something.
Yeah, I've been hearing about some sort of bill, something passed, where they are discussing the kids' phones and what they can do with it. And a lot of parents are upset, say, hey, I need to keep in touch with my kid, so he needs to have his phone, he needs to have it on. And I think it's an argument that will not go away because of the availability. And we can be old man, or in our day, we didn't have that. If they wanted to get in touch with us, you just call the school.
Right.
And I get the difference, and every kid is probably different. But overall, it could be a distraction if you're in class, middle school and high school, and trying to learn, and there's a phone going off and all that. So I bet you teachers are one way and parents are the other. And you know how that goes.
100%.
The parents, man, it is something else when it comes to their kid. And I need to be able to talk to him, my kid, at any time. It doesn't matter.
Somewhere like that, yes. Very much so.
God, it's so weird.
Not me. I'm cool.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of parents are cool with that and understand that it is a distraction and some, but as we all know in this business, the minority can be very vocal and very loud. And that kind of seems like it speaks for everyone else. So
what do you mean?
I don't know how that's going
to All right, my hatted brethren.
Besides me, because I don't have a hat.
Besides you, of course. Besides you.
Thank you, Snake.
We'll talk to you soon.